Father, we come before you this morning, Lord, and we just want to thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy to us. Help us, Lord, I pray, Father, to do your will. Lord, we just pray for wisdom this morning. God, we pray that you'd give us direction. Father, we ask that you'd be with Marcus as he preaches in Mexico this morning. Ask that you'd be with him and bless him. Lord, we just want to thank you for all that you've done for us. Help us be faithful to you. Give us your word this morning, Father. Lord, we just again ask your help in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I want to bring greetings to you this morning in Jesus' name. I'm not sure. Let's just turn to Matthew 24. Begin in, this whole chapter is just a warning. Begin in Matthew chapter 22, or 24, begin in verse 22. Matthew 24, verse 22. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even into the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there shall the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. The heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall be gathered together, his elect from the four winds, from one end of the earth to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as in the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and to drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Watch, therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Here the Lord is trying to teach us to be prepared for his return. Sometimes I wonder and I think how ready and how much do we really believe that the Lord could actually come in any moment? Do we really live like our Lord will come in any moment? And a lot of times we don't do that and we don't think that way is because we don't have to think that way. The Bible tells us in Timothy that we're living in a perilous times. Men are lovers of their own selves. And we don't have to be prepared, watching and waiting. It's so easy to be so comfortable in this life that we're just overcome. Verses we read here that it talks about beginning to eat and to drink with the drunken. Talks about the time of Noah where they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage till the day that Noah entered in the ark. Life was just going on as normal. And so often, we just get so caught up in life that we forget to watch and to wait. People begin to get scared when they see the turmoil and the things that are going on into the world, that are going on in the world right now. And so they kind of get woke up for just a little bit, get a little afraid about what's going to happen. But then as soon as things begin to ease up, they fall right back into just coasting along. Watch and wait. Last night, it was a real blessing to talk with some agnostics last night. They both grew up in Bible, supposedly believing churches. And both were taught that being saved was basically what their responsibility was, to be saved, to be baptized, basically to accomplish some religious acts, and then as long as they come to church on Sunday and did all right, that, you know, they kind of kept their nose clean and didn't get into a lot of trouble, that they'd just be all right. They believed in God, and that was just about all there was to it. And we had a really good talk. But he was kept in his mind, was just talking about being saved or being in a place of being content. And it was almost like it would just fit with this right here. Well, we found Christ. We have Him. So there's not really any need to watch. But as I begin to explain to him what we believe about the kingdom of God, and it's not being saved. He asked at one point if we believed whether you could be lost after you were saved. And I said, you can walk and you can begin. You have to make a choice to begin to walk and follow the Lord. And just like you chose to begin following, you can choose to quit following. You can choose just to fall asleep. But anyway, it was just a complete new thought to him about entering the kingdom of God and choosing to walk in this way. Instead of just the religious act of being saved or being born again, this is a way that we are choosing, a path that we are choosing, a road, a destination that we're choosing, and we're accepting the way that will lead us to that destination. And that was just a completely new thought to him. And he got kind of excited about it. And his girlfriend really didn't like it. She kind of got upset whenever this new revelation came upon him. And it's like, well, wait a minute. All I've thought about Christianity is just modern Christianity. You get saved, you go to church. And he knew that was empty. And she knew that was empty. And so they become agnostics. He is still looking a little for some truth. And whenever it came to him, it dawned on him that being a part of the kingdom of God is a choice that we make to become an actual follower of Jesus. And we can quit any time. We can just let our light go out and fall asleep anytime we want to. But when she heard that and saw that he was kind of interested in it, she went completely the other way. And as we talked about that on the way home a little bit and thought about it, it just came to my mind. She loves being an agnostic. She was taking pride in being an agnostic. Just like someone would take pride in being an atheist. They want to be that way. They love to be that way. That's why they don't want to hear anymore. They're not looking for answers in reality. They put on a big show about looking for truth and looking for reality and looking for more. But then they really don't want to find anything more, because they love where they're at. And that's just like people you and I could become. We just begin to love where we're at. There's no need to find anything better. Often, you know, if you just take the average household, today a person would hardly even need to leave his perfect comfort zone to have everything more than kings had 100 years ago. We've got chairs. I mean, I've seen pictures. I've seen pictures of the chairs they had 100 or 200 years ago. And most of us would complain that they hurt our back if we had to sit in them. Today, we've got chairs that just fold out and you can sprawl out in. Just be as comfortable as you want to be. We can eat anything we want to eat. We can adjust the temperature basically with a little knob and just keep ourselves as comfortable. We get a little bit of a headache and we can just take a pill. We've got everything that there is to make us comfortable. And that's more dangerous. That is more dangerous than all the persecutions of Christianity in history. We're living in a more dangerous time than any time in history. We've got everything. We can talk to anybody in the world. Just call them up. Talk all the way around the world. Kings couldn't do that a few years ago. The Bible tells that in the last days, knowledge shall be increased. Travel will be increased. Somebody last night, another person on the street said, well, this is 2010. Get with it. And someone corrected them and said, no, it's 2011. Oh, yeah, okay. Time's moving fast. We're racing to eternity. And people are thinking that the further along we get, the further we're getting away from it. That's the mindset of the world. Get with it. It's 2010. No way. It's 2011 already. We're going that way towards eternity. Eternity, we're not getting further away from it. It ought to cause us to strive closer and strive harder. But what does it do? Most of the time it just causes us to relax. The kingdom of God is at hand. We think that we can wait just a little while, but we don't know when the Lord's going to return. We think that we can put Him off for just a little bit. But when He returns, that's it. I don't know what all of this means as far as future events. I could make an argument either side about a rapture, for a rapture, against a rapture, and miss just exactly what the Lord's trying to teach us here. What I see in this verse is not a key, these verses that we're asked about in 41 and 42, or 40 and 41. There shall be two in the field, one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. I don't see that as a key to any new revelation. When I see that, I see there's two people going to be doing something, working together. One of them's going to be ready and one of them isn't. One of them's going to be at the mill. There's two of them going to be grinding at the mill. One of them's going to be ready for the Lord to return. And one of them isn't. It's just that simple. Sometimes we just look for all these things and we try to figure all this out. But what is he simply trying to say? We look for these big, secret, mysterious things that Jesus is trying to teach us. We all want to be prophets. We all want to be able to understand the great mysteries that God has for us. People go off to school and they go to learn. Truth be known, most of them just want to be able to have that key that they can stand up and teach. And everyone just, they understand prophecy. That was really big. I grew up going to church. If you had a preacher that really understood prophecy, boy, everybody wanted to come and hear and hear him teach. Because it was interesting. He could just open up the book of Revelations or the book of Daniel and see all these great mysteries and tell all these great tales or great things about what's going to happen and how it's all going to happen. And this Russia was this big bear, and there's going to be an army with 200 million people in it, and how China's got an army that big, and all of these things, and just put it all together, and people just sat on the edge of their seat, filling their head with all this knowledge. And then just go out and go back to business the next day. Eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, and miss the whole thing. Jesus is not looking for rocket scientists here. He's not trying to teach us some secret key of knowledge so that we can be able to expound everything beautifully and make people sit on the edge of their seat. He's saying two of you is going to be working along one day, and one of you is going to be gone. He's going to be taken away. And one of you is going to be faithful. Just like a thief breaking in your house. If you was watching for the thief, you'd be sitting there and flip the light on, and he wouldn't come in. But if you're asleep, or you're gone, he'll come in and when you don't even expect it. Sometimes it's so easy to get caught up in trying to explain all these things. Always just take the simple way. What is he just really trying to say here? Instead of making it something high and lofty that we can really impress everybody with how well we can explain it or come up with answers that no one else has even thought of. We miss it. He warns us here, for there shall arise false prophets, false Christ, and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. He's trying to warn us here. Beware of stuff like that that's going to cause your attention to be drawn away from preparing yourself, guarding yourself in this kingdom. It's a blessing in the early church whenever someone did a miracle. Today, if someone did a miracle, people would gather for miles around to listen to that person who did a miracle. But when the church was young, if someone did a miracle, everybody began to watch that person that did that miracle to see how they really lived. They were scrutinized lest they be deceived. by what they see on the outside. That's what the Bible means when it says judge in righteous judgment. There's a lot of puff. There's a lot of cotton candy. People just eat it and eat it and eat it. There's a verse in the Bible. It says that there's a time that, just look it up, I think it's in Hosea. Hearing Amos chapter 8 verse 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. I've heard people translate that, and almost every time they say, there's coming a day there's going to be a famine of the Word of God. There's going to be a famine of the Word of God. Someone said something about a young man the other day and said that man just needs someone to guide him. He just needs some wise counsel. No, he don't need wise counsel. He's been given counsel. He needs to hear it. Behold, the days cometh, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the Word of God. There's not a famine of the Word of God in the world today. There's a famine of hearing it. We don't want to hear it. We want to walk in our own path. We don't want counsel. There's all kinds of counsel. What we need is to hear it. We don't need more rules. We need people with hearts that want directed. People who want to listen. People who are looking for the way. Verse 12. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even into the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. Talks about having teachers in the last days, having itching ears. We've just got to hear something new. This same old stuff. These same old wore out truths. They're just not exciting anymore. Preacher just says the same old thing. Oh, I've heard that message before. I know all about that. I don't want to hear it. We know it. It's in our mind. But it just doesn't bring the excitement anymore. I don't know how fast information is doubling. There was a time that all that man knew, it took almost 2,000 years for it to double. I think the way it goes is from the time of Christ until sometime in the 1900s, men knew everything. It took it that long for man to double what he knew. And then from the 1900s, it only took 50 years to double it again. And it got to the point a few years ago that it was something like every 18 months, everything man knew doubled. Where it had taken 1,900 years at one time. We're living at a time where things are changing so fast that we can't even figure out how to use one cell phone until there's a new one that we've got to try to figure out how to run it again. We don't have time to get bored. Things are coming at us so fast. You know what that does to our souls and our minds? It numbs them. It numbs them. So that we're not watching and waiting. They shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east, and they shall run to and fro and seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. We've got to have our ears tickled with something new. Jesus gave us these warnings to watch. And that's why He gave them. The things that He set out. It's not exciting all the time. You think life's just passing you by sometimes. That you're missing out. Well, I'd rather miss out and be watching than to be involved. and be taken away. Jesus is going to return. And if you're not in His way, watching and waiting, being faithful. Anybody can be faithful when it's exciting. Anybody can. But you turn aside and get off of the way. When He returns, you're out of the way. Think you got to have a little diversion? Think you can get away with just having a little time of just doing what I want to do for a while? That isn't even the heart of a Christian. Again, It's a way. It's a choice that you make. We're pilgrims and strangers here. And I just don't understand when you become a follower of Christ. I didn't want identified with the world anymore. I wanted to be identified as a follower of Christ. I didn't want to be an agnostic anymore and be proud to be an agnostic. I wanted to be a follower of Christ. And anyone who gets in that camp and wants to be there because they've chosen to be there wants everyone to know. I mean, it doesn't bother them whenever the Lord tells them to dress a little different. Because they want to be associated that way. They want Christ's mark on their life. There's coming a time people will want that mark on their life. But it wasn't on their life when they were in this life. What they really wanted was to impress their friends. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but hearing the words of the Lord. Watch. Father, we come before You this morning, Lord. We just want to thank You for Your goodness to us, Father. Lord, I just pray that You would help us to watch and to wait for Your return, Lord. Father, we just pray that You'd help us be faithful to You, Lord. Jesus' name. Oftentimes we just find hardships, see hardships as something we just want to avoid, keep our children from. Want to make it as easy on them as possible. I just don't think we're doing them much good. Jesus is coming soon. I used to sing a song when I was growing up. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Millions will meet their doom. Trumpets will sound. All of the saints will rise to meet the Lord in the skies. But millions will meet their doom. One thing, I guess, it's hard to understand that whenever we choose to follow the Lord, the first thing we begin to do is try to change the way that we don't like the way we don't like it, some of the things that He's asked us to do, to follow Him. And so we began to twist it and look around and find ways around it. There may be things in the kingdom of God that I don't like. But what good does it do if I change them? To make them more palatable to me. I don't know of hardly anything more foolish. If we are actually going to follow the Lord, we need to just follow simply His way instead of trying to change it to fit our way. And if we don't like it, His way, instead of trying to change it, if we don't like it, don't follow it. And don't say you do. That's not going to do you any good.